This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربنا زدنا علما السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته My dear brothers and sisters, this is Bela Khan. I am serving as an assistant professor of psychology at Islamic Online University. And I'm here with the topic Peace Through Prayers. But before we start, I will request everyone to please turn off everything that might distract you from learning whatever we are learning in our time together. Because you know, sometimes what happens is that when you go to a gathering of ilm, remember there are different categories of people. So there will be people who will attend this webinar from the beginning till the end, but gain nothing. Why? Because they'll be multitasking, listening to the call and Facebooking at the same time or checking their WhatsApp. So they would be listening and yet not listening. So please close anything that distracts you from listening, all the browsers, turn off your cell phones. And if you can sit in a distraction-free zone, please do so. Give yourself the gift of being 100% present. But of course, if you are in a time zone where it's time for iftar and you are in the kitchen trying to cook your food and listen at the same time, then it's perfectly fine. And maybe you can also consider listening to the recording and take notes. And some of you would have kids and they'd be running around the house, so it's all right. Take it easy. Let them play around and try to focus as much as you can. If you can't, it's okay. But whatever the case may be, don't be among those who come to the gatherings of ilm empty-handed and leave empty-handed. Let it transform your life in one way or the other. Secondly, please have a pen and a paper to take notes. Notes taking help you immensely in focusing on what's being taught, right? So, and I'd also encourage you to take notes, because if you'd want to make this knowledge a satra jariya for yourself, and you want your children and your grandchildren and great-grandchildren to read what you wrote on June 17th, 2017, please write, please take notes. And maybe you can consider teaching the same stuff in your local masjid or any madrasa or wherever it is possible for you. So inshallah, that was just a reminder. How is your Ramadan going? It flew away fast, isn't it? So I hope that since it's the last part, last ashra, you all are, you know, set and buckle up. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this Ramadan a source of expiation of our sins. I mean, inshallah. So my dear brothers and sisters, before I get into the topic, I would invite you to take a moment and think about your intentions. You see, intentions, they are really, really powerful. And this is the reason that Imam Bukhari started his book with the hadith on intentions, because they are powerful, right? So I will invite you to think, why are you here on this call? For whose sake? Why will you act upon whatever you are learning here? For whose sake? I'll tell you one thing, you know, doing a good deed is easy. It's still easy. But protecting your good deed once you have done it, that's difficult. So what happens is that, for example, we pray tahajjud, right? And then we wake up in the morning and tell everyone that, oh, you know, I'm so sleepy today because I offered tahajjud. Khalas, all the reward is gone. You see, shaitan, he is so active that he doesn't sit idle even when we have done something good. He tries his best to make us waste our good deeds with our own hands by showing off. So again, my question is, why are you here on this call? For me? For yourself? For Allah? What's your intention? my dear brothers and sisters, if it's anything other than Allah's pleasure, then it's the time to renew it. Otherwise, the content of this webinar will not help you. You can do all the good deeds in the world, but if they are not done for the sake of Allah, they'll be a waste on the Day of Judgment. Alright, inshallah, let's get into business. Peace through prayers. And just let me give you a bit of overview and then we'll get into the details. So a nagging reminder, please take notes. So I'll give you 5 bullet points, right? 5 points and 5 segments of this webinar basically. So the first one is that I'll be giving a brief introduction of the topic, right? The second point is that we'll talk a bit about the importance of Laylatul Qadr from authentic ahadith. And then we'll take a moment, this is the third point, we'll take a moment to define who we actually are, what our purpose is, why are we here in this world. And number fourth point, you know, we'll try to connect all these dots and see how all these things are related to each other. And we'll dive into some content which inshallah will help you with respect to Laylatul Qadr and making dua and building your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and finding peace and serenity in your life. And finally, we'll learn how to plan these last 10 nights with powerful duas written and ready in advance so as to take maximum advantage of these nights, inshallah. And then I'll give you a few reminders in the end and then we'll wind up, inshallah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help me, inshallah. And as I said, I'll start by giving a brief introduction of the topic, peace through prayers, and basically finding this peace in the nights of Ramadan and beyond. So peace through making du'as. Remember, my dear brothers and sisters, du'a is basically our connection with our Lord. It's our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the more strong this connection is, the more peace you'll find in your heart. At this point, I'd invite you to think, when the time of acceptance of du'as come, whatever time it is, and let's say maybe your friend or someone reminds you, you know, hey, make du'a, this is the time of acceptance of du'a. What kind of du'as do you make? What are your du'as like? You know, is it something like, oh Allah, please send all Muslims to Jannah, and khalas. I mean, don't get me wrong, there's no problem with this du'a per se, but really, is that all? Or, you know, when the time comes, you are totally clueless, you absolutely have no idea what else to make du'a for, right? I'll give you an example to elaborate my point. You know, when people are in love, halal love, do they just say that I love you and that's it? No, they try to find all the good words in the entire world to express their emotions. They write long letters, emails these days. They send, texts, cards, trying to be innovative in expressing their love. Why? Because they want to strengthen their bond. They want to connect and connect over and over again. Similarly, when you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala meticulously asking for everything in great detail, you strengthen your bond with Allah. You establish the connection. You find peace and serenity. It is as if you have, you know, poured your heart in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and now your Lord is there to take care of it. You know, whatever troubles you have. And this is the reason, my dear brothers and sisters, that Sahaba, the companions, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, even when there was a problem with their shoelace or sandal strap, they'd ask Allah. They'll make dua for it. And this is one of the most profound strategies to build your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So this is the topic about. So inshallah, now we'll elaborate point number 2. And then inshallah, don't worry, we'll connect the dots. A second focus is Laylatul Qadr, the importance of Laylatul Qadr from different ahadith. So Ibn Jarir narrates that there was a man from Bani Israel who used to spend the night in prayer. Then he would fight the enemy in the way of Allah during the day until the evening. And he did this for 1,000 months. And then the surah was revealed. Which surah? Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. Verily, we sent it down in the night of al-qadr. And what can make you know what is the night of qadr? The night of decree is better than 1,000 months. The angels and the spirit descend therein by permission of their Lord for every matter. peace it is in until the emergence of dawn. So this night is better than 1,000 months. You know that worshipping in this night or any other act, it is better than the actions of that man of Bani Israel. Actually, the lifespan of earlier people was more than ours, and our lifespan is too short to do as many good deeds as earlier people did. So Laylatul Qadr is actually a gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us, so that, you know, we can reach the same level of reward as earlier people did. And you know, you'll see that some of the tafaseer and interpretation says that 1,000 is just symbolic, and I respect this opinion, but even if we take 1,000 in the literal number and do some math, I think there should be no harm in it, right? So 1,000 months, if you see how many years? 83.3 years or 30,000 days. I mean, 30,000 days, subhanAllah. I have a question. Is there any organization on earth that pays you for 83 years if you work only for a night? Not even 24 hours, just a night. No, my dear brothers and sisters, only Allah does. Only the Rahma, the Rahman, the Rahim, only He does. How can we afford to miss the blessings of this night, my dear brothers and sisters? How can we afford to roam around, party, or go to the market and do stuff that doesn't benefit us? How can we? Who knows if you are able to see the next Ramadan or not? Who knows? Let's take the advantage right now, inshallah. It's just like someone drops a blank check at your doorstep and you are free to write whatever amount you want. Won't you stand up and take the check and get it cashed? Won't you? You will. It's a time for making dua for anything, asking for anything. And this is the time to elevate our daraja in Jannah, to work for Jannah, right? This is a time to strive for something better. You know, in dunya, if you ask someone, would you like to shift to a better house than yours? A house, say, which is in front of the beach, from where you can see awesome sunrise, and it's really big with a garden in front of it, and so, who will say no? Who will say no? No one. Everyone would want to have a better house, no matter how beautiful their current house is. Right? Laylatul Qadr is giving us an opportunity to get a better home in Jannah, inshallah, just by worshipping in that one night. Alright, I hope I've made the point clear. So, inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to take maximum advantage of that night by worshipping Him to our fullest capacity. So, some more ahadith on the benefits of this night. So, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whoever stood in prayer on the night of Al-Qadr in faith and hope for a reward from Allah, he will have all of his previous sins forgiven. So, my dear brothers and sisters, I will give you a moment to think about your sins. I don't know about you, but I have many. I have many sins. I'm such a sinful person, and I really, really want to be forgiven. I don't want to miss any opportunity where Allah is promising to forgive my sins. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she reported that when the last 10 days of Ramadan started, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would tighten his azai, and he would stay away from having marital relationship. And then he spent the whole night awake and wake up his family as well. And then she said that Allah's Messenger used to exert more in worship on the last 10 nights than on the other nights. So this was Laylatul Qadr, and I hope that after listening to these ahadith, inshallah, we will focus on these nights and not waste it in any way. And this brings me to the third point of discussion, and this is one of my favorite points, and you know, whenever I I'm given a chance to speak, I just love to touch upon this topic. And this is purpose. Why am I here in this world? And of course, I'll just briefly touch upon this topic of purpose, and inshallah, just as a reminder, and we can always do it later in detail, inshallah. So the law of purpose says that every human being is born in this world for a purpose, whether we know it or not. When we fulfill this purpose, we feel fulfilled and peaceful. So remember, there are two kinds of people in this world, right? One that follow the cycle of coming to this world, getting a degree, hunting a job, getting married, having children, retire, and die. And then there's another category of people who do all these amazing things, but they also play their part in this world. Can you think about anyone who did this, what just I'm talking about? I'm sure you can. So these people, they stepped out of their comfort zone to help others and to make a difference in the lives of people, right? Trust me, my dear brothers and sisters, I'm not bragging or anything, but I'm just completely being honest to you that this is the last ashra, and I just wanted to be alone with my Ramadan goals and focus and do my ibadah and do nothing else. But trust me, I couldn't get the peace I was looking for. I was restless. Why? Because my purpose, it demands me to convey what I know to you, right? I love teaching. Teaching is my purpose. And if I don't do it, I'll go crazy. So whatever our purpose is, if we are not serving that purpose, then you know, no matter what we do, how much we earn, how many houses we have, how many cars we own, how often do we go out for, say, holidays, nothing and absolutely nothing will bring peace in our lives. Nothing will make us feel fulfilled. Only serving this purpose makes us happy and makes us feel fulfilled. And remember, when I say who are we, by definition, we are the deputy of Allah. Allah says in Surah Baqarah, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. Only this part is relevant at the moment. So when your Lord said to the angels, indeed, I will make upon the earth a deputy. And when we define ourselves, our roles, we must not forget that we, as being the deputy of Allah, we also have some responsibilities, right? Yes, we have some major responsibilities as mothers, sisters, fathers, students, professionals, but we also have major responsibilities as being the Khalifa of Allah. And what's that responsibility? To convey the word of Allah, to convey the message of Allah to their people in whatever way we can, right? Whatever our expertise is, we have to use that to convey the message of Allah to His people. So if I'm a designer, if I'm a speaker, if I'm a teacher, whatever my expertise may be, right? I have to use it to convey the message of Allah to the people of Allah, right? And now I'll jump to point four and try to connect all these dots together, right? When we look at Surah Qadr, my dear brothers and sisters, the phrase "with every matter," the angels and the spirit descend therein by permission of their Lord for every matter. This means that during this night, the matters of life and death, the provision and the source of matter for every human being, they are decided during this night or they are handed over to the angels for the implementation, right? So Laylatul Qadr is a night when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hands over some major decision to the angels. How much life should you get? You know, do the angels have to take your soul away this year, or do you have a few more years to go? Should your risk be increased or decreased? You know, what else should happen in your life? So this is the night when the plans for your year to come ahead is handed over to the angels. So this is the perfect time for you to plan your next year and put your case in front of Allah in the form of dua and get it stamped, right? And inshallah, here we're going to learn how to do that. So yes, we have to do the qiyam, we have to do the worship, but we also have to move a step forward, plan our next year, and put our case forward to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the form of du'as this night, inshallah, to make this plan a reality. So let's see how we're going to do that. Here, inshallah, I will divide this into four simple, I'll divide point four into further steps, right? Simple steps to follow, inshallah. So step one. So what I want you to do is to ask yourself an important questions. What do I want in the next year of my life? What am I looking for? What changes do I want to make? What do I want to add? What do I want to exclude? Remember, what happens is that we do not get what we want because we do not know what we want. You know, usually it happens, I'm doing seminars somewhere, I'm doing workshop, I'm doing webinars, and ask people, you know, what do you want? And they're like, they have no clue. Ask sisters, you know, what kind of husband you want? And you say, I want a good husband. And what a good husband is like? He's good, he's caring. Oh, come on. You need to define, you need to know what you want, because, you know, knowing you what you want is the first step in getting what you want. I'll repeat that. Knowing what you want is the first step in getting what you want. So the first step is, you know, ask yourself, what do I want? And the step two is identify different areas of life. You know, these areas can be your health, your relationships, learning, growth, spirituality, finance, productivity, influence, contribution, you know, whatever. And when I say contribution, it means your role as being the deputy of Allah. Your role as being the deputy of Allah. And step three is to define your vision for each of these areas. You know, let's take for example, learning and growth. Ask yourself, what's my vision for 5 years when I think about my learning and growth? You know, what's my goal? What's my vision? Where do I want to see myself in 5 years? So, for example, I want to have my PhD in psychology. Then what am I going to do? I'm just going to break it down to 1 year plan. What can I do in the next year to make this vision a reality? Maybe I need to get admission in a university or write more research papers, whatever the case may be. So for every area of your life, ask yourself the same question. What's my vision? Where do I want to see myself in 5 years? I'm saying 5 years because, you know, more than that, well, Allahu Alam, but just five is fine. If you want to, you know, do it for 10 years, 15 years, sure, go ahead, by all means. But what I do is I do it for 5 years and I break it down to 1 year plan. And when I can, what I just focus on the fact that what can I do in the next year to make it a reality, right? And if you can further break it down into months, then excellent, right? It really helps you to focus, and the deeper you go, the better it is. So let's say next area is relationships. I want to have a very loving relationship with my husband. Okay, first define what a loving relationship is and what can you actually do next year to strengthen the bond with your husband. Maybe you can have a date night out, you know, every weekend, or read together or eat together, whatever it is for you. Or I want to strengthen my relationship with my child or my mom-in-law or my parents. Apply the same formula, right? Next is health. I want to lose 30 pounds, say. Break it down. How much in a month? And what do you need to do to lose those 30 pounds? Join a gym or spend some extra 15 minutes on treadmill or do some crunches or whatever suits you. Break it down to some actionable plan, actionable steps. Or say it's finance. So remember, your risk is being decided, or the matter of your risk is being handed over to the angels. So ask yourself, how much do you want to earn this year? So for example, I'm looking for $5,000 per month. Okay, what will you do to earn those $5,000? How can you make it in a halal way, right? Or if you're a small business owner, or you're a coach, or you know, you're someone with a message and you want to reach out to more people, ask yourself, how many people do I want to reach this year? What's my plan for reaching out to more people? Right? And of course, the most important thing is your purpose, right? And that's why I touched upon the purpose part just a while ago. My purpose is contribution. As a deputy of Allah, my purpose is to make difference in the lives of people. And this is very important for me. As a deputy of Allah, I want to spread the message of my deen to, let's say, for example, 1,000 people this year. Great. How many people per month? How have I decided to do it? What's my plan of action? Which medium am I going to use to reach those people, right? Or say I'm a homeschooling mother. I want my 5-year-old to cover the syllabus of, say, KG2, or memorize these many surah in Quran, from Quran, or, you know, develop these many habits. Just list them all down. And that's how you plan your next year. Meticulously. Think about your children. Think about your marriage, about your studies, about anything and everything, and ask yourself the same question. And the next tip is that now it's the night of Ramadan, you're praying, you're doing ibadah, and you are putting your fi'al in front of Allah in the form of du'as. Make du'a for every single of these areas. Just tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I want to lose 30 pounds, and you know, I want to join a gym, please facilitate, you know, please make sure somehow make all these things possible for me, or I want to earn this much, and you know, whatever your plan is, just tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make dua. Remember, in a hadith we learn that nothing can change the divine decree except dua. Nothing can change the divine decree except dua. So this is the time for you to make crazy duas, right? And then when you have planned every detail of your year to the best of your ability, you're going to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make a reality. Why am I saying this again? Because no matter how incredibly we plan, no matter how meticulously we plan, unless we get an okay signal from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing is going to work for us. Nothing will become a reality. So now sit down, make lots and lots and lots of thus, right? And when it comes to thus, I'll share a few strategies to make your thus powerful, meaningful, and something that really excites you, no? So what are some of the ways to make your thus meaningful? First is, that's something that I say, you know, having a strong why, having a very strong reason. Why are you making this thus? You know, why do you want something you're asking for? I'll give you a simple example of the way Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he prayed in Badr. That's my super favorite, right? So you know the Battle of Badr, 313 Muslims versus 1,000 well-equipped men. And any logical mind will say, flat victory for the mushrikeen. I mean, this is no competition. And now we see that what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is making. He's saying, oh Allah, if these handful of Muslims die today, there will be no one to worship you till the day of judgment. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has a very strong and powerful why. Why should Allah give victory to these 313 people? In making this dua, he's actually putting the share of Allah in this dua, right? So no one will be there to take your name till the day of judgment. And this is one of the things that I absolutely love about this dua, having a strong why, having a strong reason. Why should Allah give you the victory? Because this is my reason. Remember, my dear brothers and sisters, Allah will answer your duas whether you have a strong why or not. But when you do have a strong reason, a very solid reason, you know, your duas become powerful. You know, so make your duas powerful by having a strong reason, by putting Allah's share. Do you want a child? Okay, great. Why should Allah give you a child? Oh Allah, I will make him a da'i and he will uphold your system. You want a better car? Why? Oh Allah, I want to, you know, drive to my charity center, or want to give a ride to orphan kids every Sunday. Whatever the reason is, have a strong why. Include a strong why in your, why as in the reason, in your du'as, and inshallah you will see that you'll enjoy making those. Your du'a will become meaningful. And I'm saying it again and again, my dear brothers and sisters, Allah will still answer your prayer if you do not, you know, if you do not have a good why. Allah's not in need. We are in need. You know, putting his share makes our du'as stronger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Ya ayyuhan nasu antumul fuqara'u ilallah, wallahu huwal ghaniyul hamid. O mankind, you are those in need of Allah. While Allah is free of any need and he's praiseworthy. So we are in need. We need a strong why. So for example, you're planning to lose weight. Why should Allah help you? Oh Allah, I want to have more energy to worship you. You want a bigger house? Why? What's your good reason? Oh Allah, I'll spare a room for the Quran classes, or I'll upload your system in my new house. I'll also add a tangent here. Please note that it's not making a vow or taking an oath. You know, for example, people do this all the time, you know, oh Allah, do such and such thing for me and I'll offer to nafil, or, you know, I'll do some charity, or oh Allah, if you give me a new house, I'll feed 100 people. No, this is not this type of stuff. This type of stuff, it is not encouraged. What I'm saying is different. It's making your intention directed to the purpose Allah sent you down for. It's about doing everything for the sake of Allah, even making du'as. Right? It's about the fact that even when you're asking for something in this dunya, you're making sure that you are rewarded for this in the next world as well. So for example, if you get a big house, alhamdulillah, good for you. But maybe you'll be happier in this world. I mean, maybe, you know, you can take the advantage of dua, this dua, in the next world if you start Quran classes in that new house as well. Right, this is gonna reward you in the next world as well. If you do lose some weight, fine, you'll look good, but at the same time you'll have more energy to serve Allah's deen, more energetically, you'll pray more energetically, you'll run around, you know, conducting halaqas without getting tired, you'll stand in long qiyamul layl. So you see, these things are connected, and how making dua to Allah in and of itself can be a source of peace and serenity and a reward in your life. And I'll give you another example. Look at the dua of Musa alayhi salam, the dua that I just recited before the beginning of this webinar. He said, Rabbi shrahli sadri wa yassirli amri wahlul uqdatan min lisani, by Why? يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي. He's praying that open for me my chest, untie the knot from my tongue. Why? Why should Allah do this for Musa? So that when he goes to convey Allah's message to Fir'aun, he speaks eloquently and Allah's message is being conveyed properly. You know, so in this case, if you have any physical deformity, my dear brothers and sisters, you know, Allah will bless you. Allah can remove this difficulty, even if you make simple dua that, oh Allah, fix my problem, whatever the problem is. But why not make it more powerful by making it, you know, by making smarter dua so as to benefit from your duas in this world and the next world as well. So remember, Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar, that our Lord give us good in this world and good in the hereafter and protect us from the torment of hellfire. So just do not focus on this dunya. Don't forget to gather the hasanat of the next world as well. What else do you want? Financial independence? Great. So what's Allah's share? And this reminds me of a very good hadith. Inshallah, I'll read it out for you. Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, he reported that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that while a man was walking through a barren land, he heard a voice coming out of a cloud saying, "Irrigate the garden of so and so." Thereupon, the cloud drifted in a certain direction and discharged its water over a rocky plain. The streamlets flowed into a channel. This man followed the channel until it reached a garden, and he saw the owner of the garden standing in its center, working with his spade, spreading the water. He asked him, "O slave of Allah, what is your name?" He told him that, you know, this and this is my name, which was the same that he heard from the cloud. The owner of the garden asked him, "O slave of Allah, why did you ask my name?" He replied, "I heard a voice from a cloud which poured down this water saying, 'Irrigate the garden of so and so.' I would like to know, what do you do? What do you do with it?" He said, "Now that you have asked me, I'll tell you. I estimate the produce of the garden and distribute 1/3 of it in charity. I spend 1/3 on myself and my family and invest 1/3 back into the garden." Charity in the path of Allah. Allah share. And this reminds me of another story. I was one counseling, you know, the informal kind of counseling, a brother who was hunting a decent job for years. And yes, of course, I know you'd be thinking that I don't counsel men. Yes, I do not counsel men. He was my mahram, so no worries. So apart from many things that we discussed and I suggested him, I asked him, you know, "Give me a good reason. Why should Allah give you a job? You know, will you set a small percentage for Allah out of your salary?" And he said, "Okay, I'll set, you know, 5% of my salary for him. Yani, whatever I earn, I will give 5% to Allah's people every month." And mashallah, he got the job in a month or so. You know, I forgot how soon, but quite soon. He had been struggling for years, and he got the job in no time as compared to the years he had been struggling. But and that's just one story, right? And there are many, many stories of the same sort. Okay, that actually brings me to the next part, which I call the crazy duas. Make some crazy duas. What I have discussed till now is what I call the realistic aspect of making dua, right? So you're making duas, you are planning, setting milestones and focusing, which is all very important. But then, you know, there are other kind of duas that are, you know, that apparently seem totally impossible to be accepted, to be answered. You cannot set milestones, or you do not know how is it going to happen. But I just invite you to make dua for that as well, regardless of the how. For example, you want to leave some mind-blowing sadqa jari after you, and you do not know how you're going to do that. Say you want to build a hospital in an area which lacks medical facility, and you have no idea where to begin from. Make dua like crazy. "I don't know how am I going to do it, O Allah, but I know you can do it for me. So please help me out. Show me how to do it. You know, give me people who can assist me." Or maybe you want to make your son the Imam of Masjid Nabawi, but you have no clue again where to begin from. Make dua. Just ask Allah to show you the steps. Or maybe you are 40 plus and haven't conceived a child yet. And you know, the world is telling you that you have no hope. I am telling you that you have all the hope in the world. Allah gave Ibrahim and Zakaria alayhi salam sons when they were too old to have kids. And you know, both of them were surprised so much so that they couldn't believe it. So don't lose hope in the rahmah of Allah. Allah's rahmah will be there for you. But remember that you will have to make du'a first. You will have to take the first step. Just appreciate the immaculate confidence Zakaria alayhi salam, he had in the mercy of Allah. He took the first step, remember. He made du'a. He knew that he was too old to have a baby. He also knew that his wife was barren. Yet he made du'a for the impossible. Why? Why do you think he did that? Simple, because something that is impossible for you and something that is impossible for me is not impossible for him. It's not impossible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the kind of conviction and confidence and faith Allah expects from his slaves. And then he blesses him with what he can never expect to become a reality. Bring the passion, conviction, confidence and faith back in your du'as by remembering that the one who can give a child to Zakaria in his old age from a barren woman can do anything for you. Something that seems totally impossible to you. So what impossible do you want to happen in your life right now? What's impossible that you are making du'a for? I'll share a story with you, you know. This is a story of a young sister. She attended one of my courses, and after the course ended, she sent me this story. Doctors had told her that she cannot conceive a child naturally, and let's see what happens then. So doctors told her that she could not conceive a child naturally, and inshallah, we'll see what happens. It's a long story, but I'll summarize it for you, inshallah, and I'll skip unnecessary, you know, details to maintain decency. So the sister says, ever since I was very young, I loved children. And as a teenager, I had this in my mind that when I'll get married, I will have my own children in no time. This idea was so fixed in my mind that I knew for sure that I will have a baby within a year of my marriage. Okay, so I'll skip a few details here. A few months after my marriage, I came to know that I suffer from a gynecological condition in which cells from the lining of uterus appear and flourish outside the uterine cavity. And it is one of the reasons of infertility in women. My doctors very clearly and bluntly told me that I could not conceive naturally and I would need to go through artificial methods such as an IVF, which is not only expensive, but a highly tabooed matter in my country, plus has a success rate of only 40%. So as I had presumed, my parents-in-law simply refused IVF and insisted that we try it naturally when my doctors told me that my tubes are totally blocked. So any childless woman can understand my pain. I was helpless, and you know what I was praying for? I was praying that I could soon have an IVF and it should be successful. When I didn't realize that from Allah I could ask for something bigger and better. So one fine day, my team head from my counseling team told me of the course Empowered Muslim. Empowered Muslim is a course that I conducted for Islamic Online University 3 years back, and it's still in the diploma session. If you want, you can have a look at it, inshallah. And she was being told that she could join this course and it would be helpful for her. So I'm just cutting the long story short here. She talks about the next session. The next session in the Empowered Muslim course, it was about belief system. You know, who we put our trust first in our lives. This lecture was a turning point for me. I used to think that doctors can cure me and all I needed was to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that my treatment turns out successful. Only realizing after listening to this lecture that once we put our trust in Allah and leave our matters to Him, He will give us the best solution. So after listening to that lecture, I changed my prayers and I used to ask Allah for an offspring through natural methods. I left my medicine as the doctors prescribed me OCPs, which were very important for my treatment but tend to suppress ovulation. I kept on praying until I noticed that, okay, I'll skip the few details here, and then that she took a pregnancy test and found that the results were positive. So she was so excited, but she was very amazed, and she says that, "I never forget to thank Allah that I put my trust in Him and He blessed me with a miracle. My trust and faith in Allah has got stronger, and I pray to Him that it should never get down." Ameen. This story still gives me goosebumps after, you know, all these years. And so, you know, I define realistic du'as as a du'as for which you have an action plan. And this is very important, planning and focusing. But then there's another definition. I define crazy du'as for which you have no action plan. You have no idea how it will come true. If people hear you making this du'a, they'll call you crazy. Just imagine if people heard Zakariya alayhi salam making the du'a for a child. What would have they called him? But, you know, I would say make this dua anyway. Trust Allah and see how miracles happen. Remember, Allah is the one who even hears the whispers of your hearts. And He answers. Whenever you call, whenever you reach out to Him, He answers. He's there. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةِ الدَّعَيِ إِذَا دَعَنْ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. That when my servant asks you, O Muhammad, concerning me, indeed I am near. I respond to the invocation of the supplicant when he calls upon me. So let them respond to me by obedience and believe in me that they might be guided. Right? So once you make dua for the impossible, you pour your heart to Allah, you'll enjoy that peace and serenity that cannot be described through the words. Have unshakable confidence in the fact that, you know, when you're making du'as, Allah will bless you. And one of the reasons du'as are not accepted, my dear brothers and sisters, is that although we are making the du'as, our tongue is moving, but, you know, we don't have confidence. You know, rather than focusing on the might and power and rahmah of Allah, we are focusing on our strength, our resources, and our possibilities. Remember, you know, such du'as which lack faith and conviction, and those that are made with a heedless mind, they are hardly answered. Crazy du'as, the way I told you, crazy du'as should have crazy high confidence in Allah's mercy. He will give to you from, you know, where you can't even imagine. Right? Inshallah, I hope I have conveyed it. Alright, another strategy to get peace through our du'as is to attach Allah's beautiful names with our du'as. So Allah says in the Quran that, for Allah are the beautiful names. So call Him with those beautiful names, with those beautiful attributes. Ya Raziq, increase my risk and help me to earn $5,000 a month. Ya Qadir, Ya Wasi, your earth is so wasi. Give me a new house on this earth. Ya Wahhab, bless me with righteous pious child, and so on. So attach the attributes of Allah, the names of Allah, with your du'as. And one of the very important du'as to make this night on Laylatul Qadr is what Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And what was that? Allahumma innaka afoon kareemun tuhibbul afa fa'fu anni. That, O Allah, you are the one who grants pardon for the sin, loves forgiving, so forgive me. And finally, this pretty much brings me to the end of the webinar with a few final reminders. And out of these reminders, first being forgiveness. I'd urge you to forgive others. When you forgive others, you have no idea, my dear brothers and sisters, you liberate yourself. You know, just, you know, keeping these grudges in heart is just like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. You know, I know whatever they have done to you is sad and it's bad. I know it hurts and it hurts very bad. But let go of it. Let go of it for the sake of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, and let them pardon over and overlook. Would you not like that Allah should forgive you? And Allah is forgiving and merciful. We have many sins, my dear brothers and sisters. We have many sins, but we still want Allah to forgive them all. So we should also have the courage to forgive the sins of others, which are way too less than our sins in front of Allah. Forgive others, let go, you will benefit your own self, inshallah. Another reminder is that I'll address those people who do not feel Ramadan, you know, or the blessings or the Laylatul Qadr, whatever the case may be. My way of feeling Ramadan is making lots and lots of du'as. When I'm making dua, I feel Ramadan. And I hope it works for you too, inshallah. Dua is again a connection between you and Allah. When this connection breaks, you do not feel anything. You do not feel the pressing of Ramadan. You just don't feel like getting from your bed and going and making wudu and doing ibadah. So just make lots and lots of dua and you'll see that this connection is re-established. And you would really be able to enjoy the nights, inshallah, the nights of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. You know, after this webinar, I just urge you, I just request you to jump off your bed, say A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitani Rajeem aloud, right? Go to the bathroom, make wudu, and say enough is enough. I am going to kill this procrastination, I'm going to kill this depression or whatever it is for you. And I'm just going to put my utmost effort in taking the maximum advantage of these last 10 nights, right? Khalas, enough is enough. And finally, I'm just trying to wind it up, but I have so much to share that I just cannot just get to the conclusion. But just one more point, a few more points actually. Okay, so planning this night beforehand is very important, all right? So plan your ibadah beforehand, make a schedule, like, you know, from 10 to 9 to 10 p.m. I'll go for Taraweeh. From 10 to 11 p.m. I'll just read Quran. From 11 to 11:30 is my dua time, and this should include the realistic duas, the crazy duas, duas from Quran, dua from Sunnah. So combination of all those duas. So plan that night beforehand, because if you'll start figuring out what to do on that night, then it might be, you know, a waste of a lot of your time. So your timetable should be ready. And if you can have an accountability buddy, if you can pair up with someone, excellent. Nothing better than that. She'll not let you sleep, and you will not let her doze off. So if you're not physically close to each other, you know, keep in touch via WhatsApp or any other messaging service. It really helps a lot to have someone as your buddy. And finally, please remember, things happen. Things happen. You plan and Allah plan. So don't beat yourself up if you can't do everything that you have planned. You know, what if you want to pray all night and make dua and offer nawafil, but you have a bunch of kids to take care of? What if you work in the morning? What if you have some health conditions maybe? Or what if you have sick parents to take care of? You know, if you have a bedridden mother-in-law maybe? You know, I can imagine how difficult things can be for most of us. Right, most of us do not have the luxury of just sitting on masala for like the whole night and focus, right? So, and what if you start having menses? I suggest accept it. You plan and Allah plan, and Allah is the best planner. If you start fighting it, it means that you are not accepting Allah's master plan, which is way better for you than your own plan. So take it easy, and again, focus on what you can do rather than what you cannot. Because what you focus on, it expands. What you focus on, it really, really expands. So if you focus on, you know, things that you're not doing, you'll end up not doing what you can do. I hope it makes sense, right? So please see what you're focusing on. So even if you have not done anything substantial yet, please don't beat yourself up. You still have time. Ramadan is not over yet. This is a reason, you know, why Allah brought you here to this call. And that's why I suggest, just when this webinar ends, just get up, make wudu, and khalas, done. You are ready, you are a soldier, you're gonna fight it, you're gonna crush it, inshallah. And something that I put as my Facebook status in the morning, and I'll read it out for you, because, you know, I'm not sure if I can really give words to it. The thing is that our circumstances are a part of the master plan designed by a planner who is the best of all planners, and we will be rewarded based on the test we are going through. No one ever in the history of mankind has been given any high rank, izzah, or success without being tested. You name it. Accepting our circumstances is just like making peace with the fact that the one who has chosen us for this test knows better, and we trust his knowledge. And while our to-do list is less than 50% done, remember that there's another list where our deeds are being recorded. When your to-do list had the time for Quran recitation, but you ended up changing the diaper of your baby, somewhere a check was marked for changing those diapers, and you were rewarded. When you had blocked the time for Nawafil, but realized that your mother-in-law has a fever and you need to do the dishes, somewhere a check was marked for doing those dishes, and you were rewarded. When you wanted to stand and make long qiyam, but ended up reciting Surah Kauthar because your neighbor needed some immediate help, remember, somewhere a check was marked and you were rewarded. You see, there's another checklist which we seldom think of. You planned and he planned. Trust that his to-do list for you is better than yours. And make sure that when the opportunity comes, you do not fail to get your check marked. Right? And lastly, please don't waste these nights, you know, hanging out, going to the shopping malls, preparing for the Eid, you know, wasting these precious moments in market. Also, please do not go to others' home in Ramadan unless extremely necessary. You are destroying their schedule as well. It's not the month of chilling and roaming around. You know, if you must be someone's guest, then please be Allah's guest. Go perform Umrah if you can. Don't disturb others. Yes, if they invite you, go have iftar and please come back before Taraweeh, because it's completely awkward situation for the host when you sit and chat and the host has to go for Taraweeh and the poor guy is regretting calling you for, you know, dawah and biryani and all these things. So, you know, again, it's not the month of partying, it's the month of focusing, connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and making something for your akhirah. That's all, my dear brothers and sisters. Don't forget Gaza, Afghanistan, Yemen, Egypt, Syria, Pakistan and the whole Muslim ummah in your du'as. And I believe that's the least we can do for them. If there was anything good in this webinar, it was from Allah alone. And if I have erred, this is either from myself or shaitan. May Allah forgive me. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته.